He is an idiot. The man is an idiot, ladies and gentlemen.
What if he dies in the fire, and that's the last thing you ever said to him?
I didn't say it to him. I said it about him.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you after a hiatus. Before we get into Odell getting traded, Russell Wilson coming to the Giants, Josina at Landon's Locker, and Robert Kraft's Rub and Tugs, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Smash the motherfucking subscribe button. We're back for the combine. We're back for free agency. We're back for the draft. Rate us 5 stars. Tell everyone you know that's a Giants fan. Subscribe to the number one New York Giants podcast that spits the truth. And we're not Eli Homers like some other Giants podcasts out there who will remain unnamed. Weiss, it's been a minute. How are you?
I'm good, Ethan. Just want to point out that I'm not the quote-unquote bigger name that was involved in the prostitution scandal.
Okay.
Rob Graff was
good,
on.
Good to know. Wait, yes. Weiss innocent in the rub and tug scandal.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Give me $100 on Don Jr. I'm good. Also, not the other big name in the rub and tug scandal. We could banter about this for a second. Did you see that the schedule came out and the man like literally pulled up, was in there for like 30 minutes on game day for the AFC championship?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like
he went to
power move.
Florida. Went to Florida to get, you know, to pay for some, you know what,
services.
Then got on a jet and went to Kansas City.
Unbelievable. In the same day.
That's an interesting day.
And the day after he got pulled over, Florida. Too.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre story.
I feel like I want to make jokes about it, but I can't because of the whole.
Right. Because, yeah, you know, it's not kosher.
You know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, a lot has gone on the last, I'll call it 2 or 3 weeks in regards to the Giants. Notably, Lockergate, Landon Collins locker. That day was an absolute roller coaster. Definitely for me. Yeah. I'm sure for everyone else. Conflicting stories. Josina versus Paul Schwartz versus literally Landon Collins chiming in. Touch on the drama before we get into how the Giants are possibly bungling what should have been just a very obvious situation in terms of how to handle this.
First off, the whole thing was just, it was so wild because you got Josina Anderson came out with this whole Landon Collins says his goodbyes to the Giants. And immediately you think that, okay, the Giants just told him that they're not franchising him.
Right.
Right. Like initially that was my thought. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets to, I think it was Paul Schwartz that came out and says, no, his locker has not been cleaned out. And then you're like, okay, now I know what's going on. This is, you know,
a franchise tag holdout situation. Yeah.
Agent putting something out, you know, or the player through the agent putting something out to, you know, just create something in the media to try to, you know, this is just a power game. This is a guy wanting to avoid the franchise tag, wanting to get paid. And, you know, in today's world, this is how you play the game. You leak stuff to the media and the media, you know, person leaks it to the world through Twitter. And, you know, because of the 24/7 access, everyone goes crazy. Ultimately, I think the franchise tag is coming. I think it's imminent. And I think once that comes, then I think you will see some more serious negotiations go down. And we can discuss whether or not to pay Landon Collins or whether or not to pay Landon Collins. But that whole episode, like it was about 2 hours, was just an incredible adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Because so much happened so quickly, and you're just like, oh. And it's like, so it was fun.
It was
that
a fun 2 hours.
That week of February, like where there's, you know, after the NBA All-Star game and, you know, there's really nothing going on.
It was basically Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with no NBA, limited good college games. And right. Colin Cowherd needing to make up stories, but we'll get into that one later.
Yeah, like, but there was a lot of people like making stuff up or overreacting to things, you know, and it was just related to the Giants. It was related to just about everything. And this Landon Collins thing just came at the perfect time because it was a slow news week and people needed something to talk about.
Yep.
And immediately when that came out, you just saw beat writers in Kansas City putting out articles about how, oh, the Chiefs are interested in Collins, or the Colts are interested in Collins, or the Packers, or this and that. And it was pretty intense.
The Chiefs brought in the Giants DB coach to be their defensive coordinator.
Right. That was the Bengals.
The Bengals, sorry.
Spagnuolo is now in Kansas City as the defensive coordinator.
That was the confusion. Okay, so
yeah.
I guess there's like a little connection there, although I don't know why he'd want to play for a dog shit defense like Steve Spagnuolo's, but crazy day. And by the way, I got to say, being blocked by Josina Anderson made that day just all the more difficult because I had to switch accounts. I had to go on the Gotham SN account. I don't have a burner, please. I had to go on the Gotham SN account and like go to her page. Just unnecessarily ridiculous. Josina, please unblock me, but only if you tell me how you have every single player in the league's number. Crazy day. Now, getting into the logistics of the actual move of the franchise tag, I mean, what are you in favor of? I'm of the opinion that Collins sort of is what he is. He's a, I'll say, very good safety. I almost said linebacker there. He's a very good safety. I don't think he's a top tier safety. I don't think he's worth $12, $13 million a year like he's probably going to demand. I also think that if the Giants, and they probably will franchise tag him, but if they don't franchise tag him, I don't understand why Dave Gettleman, or what Dave Gettleman saw in the last six games of the 2018 season that would have changed his mind from trading Landon Collins at the deadline for a third round pick, which is reportedly what the highest offer was, versus now losing him for borderline nothing. But again, it speaks to Gettleman's incompetence when it comes to getting the maximum value out of a situation. So to me, they'll franchise him. They'll try to work out the long-term deal. I don't know if he'll play on the franchise tag. I wouldn't want to, especially after you're looking at what happened to Earl Thomas.
When you say top tier, I think everyone groups the tiers. So when you say top tier, you don't think he's what, top five, top three?
Yeah, I don't think he's top five.
So you're saying there's five safeties better than Landon Collins?
Yeah, I mean, well, at least five safeties that are more wholesome, right? I mean, his biggest liability is the fact that he can't cover for shit.
Okay, I think he's coverage is not one of his strong suits, but I think that when you look at just about everything else, I think he checks off just about all the other boxes. And I think with coverage, I think a lot of that is a little bit overblown. I think that if you're asking Landon Collins to go man on man against Zach Ertz, I think that's a tough task. I think it's a tough task for a lot of corners, let alone Landon Collins.
And again, Kittle. And that's fine. Like, a lot of people are pointing out the fact that he can't cover Tariq Cohen. Like, yeah, no shit. Like, Tariq Cohen's really fucking fast. Yeah. But the way the NFL is evolving, it's a speed game. That's why you see these teams drafting fast linebackers so that they can cover these new age fast tight ends, right? We got Evan Engram on the roster. He's the perfect example. He's 6'3", 6'4". He's a tight end. He ran the same 40 time as Odell. He's fast. That's just the direction the NFL's moving in.
Right, but I think that with Landon Collins, he brings enough to the table that warrants top-tier safety money. I mean, like I said, I agree with you in terms of coverage is not his strong suit, but I think that he's a sideline-to-sideline player, and I think he can play at the line of scrimmage. He might not have that coverage speed to guard or to cover those, you know, tight ends one-on-one, but I think that he does a lot of other things really well. And the one thing we have to take into account about Landon Collins is Landon Collins has never played with a good free safety. There have been moments where Andrew Adams had good games. There have been moments where Darian Thompson was good. But other than that, since the moment he came into the league, you look at the free safeties that's played alongside him, and they've never had anyone just worth mentioning. Craig Dahl, give me a break.
Yeah.
Curtis Riley this past year, give me, like, there's never been that.
Here's the counter to that, right? How does that impact his ability as a covered safety?
Well, it impacts him because you're asking him to do things that are not his strengths versus letting him do what makes him, in my opinion, an elite defense or an elite safety in this league. I mean, we talk about, like, I always use, like, Camp Chancellor and Earl Thomas. Like, I feel as though because the Seahawks were able to team a guy like Earl Thomas with Cam Chancellor, that's why Cam Chancellor was such a great player. Now, that's not saying he wouldn't have been a great player if he didn't have Earl Thomas, but being able to do what Cam Chancellor was great at. I think that's what the Giants should be focused in on. Okay, we have this great safety in Landon Collins. We know what he's great at. We know what he's good at. We know what he's not so good at. Now, our job is to go get a free safety and sort of, you know, have that guy that's a coverage guy that can, you know, guard areas of the field, that has that speed. It's sort of like that ball hawk, and team him with Landon Collins so we can have a great safety tandem like the Seahawks had. I think that, you know, Landon Collins should absolutely look for top tier safety money. He's a 25-year-old, you know,
and again, I don't blame him for that. We've gone over this multiple times on the podcast. We're big player guys, right? I never understand the average Joe fan who's siding with billionaire owners over safeties. I totally understand where Landon Collins is coming from. Just for me, given his limitations, I don't see, given the 8 holes we have on defense, paying him 12 or 13 million a year is going to be part of the solution.
But when you say like limited, like I think that you're discrediting some of what he does. I think that you're making it seem as though it's easy to replace Landon Collins. And I don't think that's the case at all. If you get rid of Landon, forget about what he brings to the table in the locker room and the whole leadership and all that. This was a guy that was all pro 2 years ago. This is a guy that is good for 100 tackles a year. This is a guy that's good for making plays that really don't show up on the stat sheet, or when they do, they aren't paid attention enough. He can make tackles in the backfield. He can blitz. He can move around on the field, move around at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's important. And I think that you can't just go and replace that with a Kenny Vaccaro or, you know, some of these other safeties, or like an Eric Reed or something like that.
Listen, if you're telling me you can get me Landon Collins for less than what the money that he's looking for, I just can't do that. 12 or 13. They need a tackle. They need a guard. They probably need a center. They need 2 pass rushers. They need an actual good linebacker. There's just so many holes on this roster that for a non-premium position like safety, I just have a hard time wanting to tie up that much money long-term in Landon Collins.
But I think that he's such a great player that you can't let him walk out the door. It's not like you have this plethora of young, you know, defensive backs in the locker room where you think, there's some promise there. We have some flexibility. They don't. They don't have any homegrown talent on defense. They don't really have much homegrown talent to begin with, let alone on defense. I just think you can't let a player like that go. These are the type of players that you keep. Sure, he's not a perfect player, but, you know, this is a really, really good defensive football player playing on a defense this past year that had no pass rush, had cornerbacks going in and out, and he still played, and he still played at a pretty high level of doing the things that makes him great.
It's not like I don't see where you're coming from. I think we're basically talking about two different sides of the same coin here. We're like, there are so many holes on the defense. Like, I just don't see the value in building your defense around Collins, because there really is like no centerpiece on the defense right now. And you're basically going to commit that much money to a safety long-term. I just don't see it. I mean, I get it. They don't have any other talent really. And Gettleman's got a lot of work to do. I guess we can agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to disagree with on this one. I think Collins is one of those centerpieces for a defense. And I think that letting him grow just would create an even bigger hole for this defense that I don't think it's easy to replace a player like that.
Okay. So that's for me, it's about the value. Yeah. If they can get him on a good enough deal, yeah, of course, I'll take him back. Let's talk Russell Wilson, future quarterback of the New York Football Giants.
Hey, man.
How wild
was
that?
About like that? That was wild. I mean, I think that it's not wild it's wild because, like, here's the thing I will say. I don't think Russell Wilson is the future quarterback of the New York Giants.
No,
I don't think
neither.
Russell Wilson is the future quarterback of any team not named the Seattle Seahawks.
Correct.
But this is the point that Colin said that's interesting, is that he talked about how NBA players, superstars, you know, they have this leverage where they can demand trades and they can get their way out of certain situations. We saw Kyrie Irving with Cleveland. We saw Kawhi Leonard with San Antonio. Paul George with Indiana. We're seeing Anthony Davis in New Orleans. And then he talked about how college athletes, you know, even college football players, quarterbacks, they're transferring. You know, Jalen Hurts transferring, Kelly Bryant, Clemson transferring. And I think that what he's saying is that we're possibly on the verge of seeing NFL players, specifically quarterbacks, because they are the most important players on a football team, where we could be on the verge of seeing quarterbacks finding a way out of certain situations. So does that mean it's going to start with Russell Wilson? No, but I'm sort of buying into that, where I think that we could in the future see, you know, a quarterback say, you know what, I'm not signing here. And we sort of saw it with Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins is not nearly as great of a player as, you know, some of the NBA guys were, as popular as some of the college football players were. I just think we could see that, you know, coming up. And could it be Russell Wilson? I don't think so. But I think, you know, that could be something that's coming in the NFL, where we see guys starting to use more and more of their leverage and try to get out of, you know, an organization because, you know, they're not winning or they're not putting enough talent there. So that, for me, that made sense. No, everything else did not.
Right. I mean, I get the overarching point there. But again, like, based on how the CBA is structured and how players have very little leverage in the NFL as compared to the NBA, right? The NBA players have so much more leverage. For a guy like, I mean, Kirk Cousins, the example you brought up, right? Like, he kept getting tagged in Washington. He basically had no power over that. He finally got his money. But like, let's not pretend that Minnesota is some big market where he's going to go and become like some marketable superstar, like an Odell or a Saquon is in New York, right?
Right.
I get the point. But listen, money's money, and teams just don't let quarterbacks like that walk out the door.
Yeah,
it's just not happening. It's fun to speculate. It's not happening.
Right. But I just think that with the whole CBA coming to an end, I think there's a possibility you could see some changes. I think we could see players having more power. I don't think that the franchise tag is going to go away, but I think you'll start to see some things happen that's going to surprise you. But we've never seen a quarterback get franchise tag and then that quarterback threatened to sit out the entire year.
Right.
Like Le'Veon Bell just did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've never seen it with the quarterback. So what happens if we do see it with the quarterback? What will happen? What if he does skip, you know, the offseason workouts? What if he does sit out of training camp? Could you imagine if a guy, like, we'll use Russell Wilson as an example. Let's say, you know, his contract's coming to an end at the end of this year. Let's say he gets tagged, right? And let's say he says, you know what, I'm not showing up till I get a long-term deal, or, you know, I get let go. Like, it'll be a huge media wave. I mean, it'll be talked about, you know, for the duration of his holdout. If he sits out training camp, preseason, and then even threatens into the season, like, that's a big deal, you know, if that were to happen. So,
and it's a good point, too, because for someone like Le'Veon Bell, right, I mean, we've gone on and on about the value of running backs in today's league.
Exactly,
and for the Steelers, it doesn't matter. But for a quarterback, if Russell Wilson sits out, the Seahawks are fucked with a capital F.
Right. Like we saw with Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Khalil Mack wanted to get paid. The Raiders had no interest of paying him. He did not show up, you know, held out, and then finally got dealt to Chicago and he got paid. Aaron Donald sat out, you know, 2 years in a row, actually, and eventually he got paid. You know, what will happen if we get to the point where a quarterback says, I'm holding out? Well, if it's a quarterback, let's say Carson Wentz. Let's say he says, you know what? I don't want to play on my fifth year option, right? Let's say he has a good 2019 season, and 2020 comes around. He's like, you know what? I don't want to play on that fifth year option. I want to get paid, right? I want that, you know, $150-160 million contract, whatever the market value is at that time for a quarterback, right? Let's say he says, I'm holding out, sits out the spring, sits out training camp. Let's see what happens then. So I think that it's interesting to see what will happen. That's my point. If we ever get to that point with the quarterback.
Yep.
So that's the only thing I took away from Colin Coward. I was like, oh, that's a good point. Everything else, the Sierra wants him to play in New York. The, you know, Giants don't like any of these quarterbacks. I'm not buying any of that. So we can imagine. But
we can have fun with it.
Yeah. But
you bet your ass I'm going to milk that for Twitter impressions.
But it was a slow news week
for sure. Let's talk free agency. Who are you eyeing? I got two right off the top that I know I'm looking at.
Go ahead. Name them.
Well, for starters, Juwan James.
The Miami Dolphins offensive tackle. Okay.
Yep, for right tackle. And I'm curious to see what happens with Cam Fleming.
Cameron Fleming, guy was on the Patriots, then
Dallas.
You know, Dallas, yeah. Signed a one-year deal in Dallas, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For me, I know, obviously you take away the DeMarcus Lawrence, you take away Clowney, you take away Bell and Dee Ford and these guys. Earl Thomas is an interesting guy. But for me, I'm looking at Anthony Barr, the linebacker who's going to be a free agent with the Vikings. Like, for me, that's a guy I would be interested in targeting. Another one could possibly be Preston Smith, the edge rusher, especially if they part ways with Olivier Vernon, who I've sort of gone back and forth with.
Yeah, what's your take on Vernon? I feel like you have gone back and forth a lot on him.
Yeah. So if you would ask me,
you want to keep him right now?
I mean, for me, it's like, okay, I got $11 million if I let him go, right? I get, and then what can I do with that $11 million? Because let's face it, we like Lorenzo Carter. Kareem Martin's a good depth player, but they don't really have anybody else on that defense. And they only have two first-round picks in the top 100. And we think, knock on wood, that number six pick could be used for a quarterback.
We'll talk.
So you're almost sitting there like, okay, what are my options? Realistically, could I part ways with Olivier Vernon, get that $11 million in cap space? How much is Preston Smith going to cost? I know I can't get Frank Clark. I know I can't get DeMarcus Lawrence. I know I can't get Clowney. So I'm left with that second and third tier guys. Well, Preston Smith is a guy that might garner a lot of money. Do I go after a veteran like Brandon Graham, Ziggy Ansah, Za'Darius Smith? So there's those second and third tier guys, but you just don't know how much they're going to cost.
A lot.
So what you could end up happening is you got that $11 million in cap space there. You got to get a pass rusher with that. That might cost you more than $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone back and forth with it. I understand both sides. But my opinion, I think that you almost have to keep Olivier Vernon because you know that you're going to strike out on a lot of these. You're definitely not going to get a top-tier edge rusher, but you're going to strike out on the second and some third-tier guys. So you're going to be left with what? You know, so I've gone back and forth. I really, like, right now, if you were to ask me, I'd probably say you almost have to keep them. But just before the show, I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? You might have to just cut him. So yeah. I've gone back and forth, really. I really don't have – I can see both sides of it and have a take for both sides, if that makes sense.
One guy I'm curious about, not that I think he's a good fit for the Giants, just in general, and I feel like he went very under the radar this year. He had a very high cap hit because he is a dominant player despite his reputation, but he was playing second fiddle to Aaron Donald, is Ndamukong Suh. Because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but he's going to be 32 years old. I'm just curious to see what sort of money he gets or where he ends up.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
And again, you brought up Vinny Curry and also
Brandon Graham.
Yeah. But again, two other pass rushers that are available. Dante Fowler is going to get paid. He's going to get a lot of money. But, you know, outside of that.
D4 is going to get paid. Trey Flowers is going to get paid. Frank Clark is going to get tagged.
We're basically, we're basically looking at the same situation we looked at with Olivier Vernon when we first signed him, right? It's like, all right, you're going to need to pay top tier money for a pass rusher because you don't have one. Now it's the argument, well, do you just keep him or you want to cut him and use that $11 million to basically do the exact same thing that you did with Olivier Vernon and hope you get more sack production out of whoever you bring in?
Like, there's a good chance we enter the first day of free agency, and after the franchise tags are handed out to some of the obvious guys, like Preston Smith might be the
DeMarcus
best
DeMarcus Lawrence,
option.
Too. He's going to get franchise tagged. Yeah. They don't sign him.
Like DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, D4, like these guys get tagged. The best available free agent might be Preston Smith.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teams with cap space.
Yep.
The Jets have, you know, so much money in cap. They have, what, like $80, $90 million in cap?
Oh, yeah.
They need edge rushers. They might go and pay Preston Smith. So, you know, I just don't know. I mean, Ziggy Ansah, Is that a guy that you can bring in? Is he an upgrade
his
over
his
a
age is my only concern. He's going to be 30.
Yeah. And the fact that he wore, 3D movie theater glasses at his NFL draft.
Yeah.
He did. I'll forget that. Darius Smith's another guy. I like him. 3-4. Could he possibly?
I didn't even realize Frank Clark's going to get paid.
Yeah, Frank Clark's going to get tagged and he's going to get paid.
Paid.
So
14 sacks, paid. 27 yep. quarterback hits, 4 forced fumbles. Monster.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But I've gone back and forth on it. Darrell Williams, obviously, that's the one offensive tackle that, because the ties to Gettleman, I think he's coming off a year where he had a knee injury. I mean, yep. What is he going to garner on the free agent market? I think he's going to be a $10 million a year guy too. Like he's going to be around that 9, 10, 11 million a year. And if he is, can the Giants afford to pay $15 million a year to Nate Solder and then 10, 11 million a year to Darrell Williams?
Yeah.
We're talking $26 million annually yep. allocated to your left and right tackle.
Yep.
That's a lot of money.
Which is why I don't think someone like Cody Ford or Jonah Williams is out of the picture for draft day.
And if you get those two guys, then we're talking, those aren't even like two of the top tier tackles in this league. So you're talking about paying money to both your left tackle and your right tackle. You're paying A-plus money to B players and at times even C players.
Well, that's the thing. That's what we speak about all the time. That's what free agency is. You're paying B-plus players, A-plus money.
And that's I go back to my point about Landon Collins.
Yep.
This is why you can't afford to lose a player like this, especially when you have no viable option out there, is because you can't go into free agency thinking that you're going to get a player like that. So
I'm curious to see how Gettleman handles the Collins situation, not to go back to it, but
I think it's going to be tagged and they're going to work out a long-term deal.
I would hope so. Team friendly. I think offensive line is going to be an interesting area. In terms of guard, I don't even know really who's out there in terms of guards that would be like a good fit at right guard for the Giants. I mean, I'm just like looking at some of these names, like Roger Saffold. I feel like he's going to get paid. A lot of these guys like getting up there in age. It's not great.
Yeah. I mean, typically, good offensive linemen don't hit the free agent market.
Or if they do, they're like Nate Solder. They're going to get the Brinks truck.
Yeah. So for me, I think it's almost like you have to, this is where like the late in the draft, like you have to find offensive linemen there.
Yeah.
Like you have to be able to draft well in the later rounds where you can develop your own offensive line. Well,
that's what everyone was sucking Dave Gettleman's dick about his ability to find offensive line talent late in the draft. Let's see if he finally does it this year.
Yeah.
He has to. How excited are you to watch Kyler Murray in the combine?
Is he throwing?
I don't know if he's throwing. He might be doing a pro day for throwing. I'm honestly not sure. Let me search that. But I did tweet out about a month ago that I would be shocked if he came in weighing under 200 pounds. And rumor has it he's going to weigh in at 203 or 206, which is exactly where I pegged him. If he does that and he lights up a good 40 time, man, I mean, we're in like, again, this is the exact timeline that I was talking about in regards to Kyler Murray, where everyone's going to criticize his size, his durability. He's going to come into the combine weighing way more, prove that he's durable. He's going to blow people away with his arm strength and his speed, right? Which I think is on par, if not better, than Baker Mayfield. I'm talking about arm strength. He's obviously faster, succeeded in the same system. So, if he comes in weighing 203, 206, something like that, I honestly don't understand why he wouldn't be, in serious consideration for the top five. The only thing that I can think of is football IQ, and that's only because for whatever reason that Dan Patrick interview is stuck in my head, and I think he's like really fucking dumb. And Dwayne Haskins has proven like time and time again that he's just the most intelligent from a football IQ perspective quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, I think with Kyler Murray, the big thing is going to be about him is the aftermath of the combine and some of the stuff that comes out about what teams think of him,
especially the interview process. But that's what he's going to have to nail.
But I'll give you a take right now. What is today? February
25th.
Kyler Murray will be a top five pick.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. People, fucking like, dude, like 3 months. This is what pisses me off about the NFL draft talk is that 3 months ago, people are doubting whether or not he's going to even go in the first round. I said he's a lock for top 15. A lock.
I think he's a lock for the top three.
Someone's trading up for him. 100% trading up for him. And they're going to get a steal.
It'll be... I don't think the Giants are going to take Murray. I don't think he fits what they're looking for.
Which is
I think it's
going to
be Jacksonville. Jacksonville. Miami.
I think it's Miami. I really, really think Miami's in on him. I don't know why. I just feel like he's a fit for him.
And potentially Washington. Those three teams.
Here's the thing.
And I'll give you a fourth wild card team.
Okay.
Too. Cincinnati.
The Patriots. Okay, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Here's my take, right? I think that the Giants and the Broncos and the Jaguars all have too old school thinking when it comes to the quarterback position. It's going to haunt them. It's just how they do shit. It makes no sense. I apologize if you can hear that siren in the background. But for a team like the Redskins, I can almost guarantee that someone in the organization is just going to start having PTSD flashbacks to RG3 getting injured and want to pass on him. And that's why, for me, it leaves Miami as like the team that would take a risk.
What about Cincinnati?
I mean, I could see it. Did they commit to Andy Dalton?
No, there has been no real commitment there. Okay. What about Oakland?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Gruden's the wild card in this draft right now.
He is.
I think because even though at first I was like, no, they committed to Carr. There's no way. But I just think that Gruden and his love for quarterbacks, I think there's a really good chance that he could take a quarterback. He has two first-round picks.
But then he's going to have to find someone to take Carr's salary.
Well, you know, Derek Carr will still be with the team this year. And then...
Which is why I don't think they would do it. It makes no sense to have Kyler Murray and also... I mean, they would have to get rid of Carr.
Well, they can get rid of Carr. You know, no. After this year, they can get out of Derek Carr's contract with only $5 million of it being a dead cap. They'll free up. He has a $21 million cap hit in 2020. And if they cut him, they only have to worry about $5 million in dead cap. They're essentially freeing up $16.5 million.
Interesting.
And he'll be a 29-year-old quarterback. You don't think there'll be a trade market for him?
There might be. I don't know. I feel like when you trade away Khalil Mack and you're holding a top pick like they are, you just go best pass rusher and you don't think twice.
Possibly, but it's a deep pass rusher.
How many first-round picks do they have this year?
Two?
Well,
three. No, three. They got Dallas, Chicago's, and their own.
So there you go. Why don't you use your own on the best pass rusher available, and then if you identify that value for Murray is still there, if he decides to slip, you can trade those two firsts.
What happens if you have a lot of pass rushers ranked high on your board and you really like Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins and you take that quarterback, right? And then let's say you take some of those picks that you have and try to move around in the draft and potentially get a pass rusher.
So yeah, it's the reverse of that. And honestly, that probably makes more sense given the value of the quarterback position.
There you go.
But I don't know. You're right. He's a wild card. I just can't see it right now. But I do agree with you that Kyler Murray is going to be, I don't know if I would go as far as top five, 100% going top 10.
I think he'll be a top five pick. I think there will be, because the Jets, San Francisco, and even Arizona with number one overall pick, I think those are three teams who have their quarterback and will definitely be looking to move to trade down. Like, as great as Bosa is, as great as Williams is and Josh Allen, I think if they get a haul of picks, they're moving down. And this class that's so heavy on defense, there's no way they would not pass up that opportunity.
Sure. What are you thinking for the Giants at six?
Oh, man. They're in a tough spot because everyone knows that they're going to be in the market for a quarterback. And I think with some of the stuff that's already come out, it's sort of looking like it's Dwayne Haskins for them or nobody in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that could change after the combine and some pro days and stuff like that. It's still time to go. But I just think if they want Haskins, they have to move up.
And I just don't think they don't have the draft capital. that's the problem, because there's probably at least three other teams that love Haskins, and they realize that if the Giants are there at six, they're going to need to trade up.
The only thing that I'm thinking about is possibly with teams knowing that next year is a very strong class, they could be like, well, you know what, we're hesitant because, you know, we could be bad next year too and get the quarterback.
Yep.
Whereas I think the Giants, they're more of, you know, we don't want to put ourselves in a predicament where we are, you know, stuck with, you know, being in the middle of the pack, being a 7-9, 8-8 team, and having, you know, realistically no shot to get up into the top two or three and get a quarterback.
Well, that's why the Barkley pick hurts even more, because when you're sitting at number two and you take a guy who's that talented, you're not going to be that bad. I mean, they were horrendous this year and they still managed to get five wins and they almost had six, right? So you have to think, with another year of development, another year under under Shermer, another year under Betcher, they're going to be better. Gettleman's going to plug some holes. So it's the worst situation you could be in. And one thing that probably helps their favor is how fucking stupid general managers are in the NFL, where they're all going to spin zone themselves into thinking that both Daniel Jones and Drew Lock are first round talents, and not just first round talents, probably top 15 talents, when realistically, if this was last year's draft and they were in them, they'd be like third or fourth round picks. So it is what it is. I think that someone like Elway or even Jacksonville is going to spin zone themselves into taking a big white guy. But, you know, you have to hope that that's the case, where they sort of know that the Giants aren't really going to be in on either of them, and that they really, really like Haskins and they don't feel the need to trade up in order to get their guy. That's what you really have to hope for.
You think Haskins is going in the top five?
Yeah.
You think someone's going to trade up for him? Who's that team? Jacksonville?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Jacksonville. I think they make sense.
What happens if Jacksonville goes out and pays big money for Nick Foles?
Well, again, that's another thing you got to look for. I don't know. The Nick Foles situation is interesting. I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to fork up the money that Nick Foles thinks he's going to get. I think we're going to be underwhelmed by what the Nick Foles contract is. I really do.
You know what contract they use as a blueprint for Nick Foles?
Who?
The Case Keenum contract.
He's going to want more.
I don't think he's going to get more.
Me neither.
You know what I think Jacksonville's going to do? Jacksonville's probably saying to themselves that if we get better quarterback play, we'll be back in the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
And that could be true. So they could look at it and say, well, let's take Foles. Let's do a two-year thing. Our defense is still, I mean, there were issues there, but we still have, you know, we still have some talent there. Mm-hmm. They didn't part ways with Calais Campbell, right? Everyone thought they were going to let him go. No, yep. They're not letting him go. So could possibly they be telling themselves, hey, you know, better quarterback play, somebody that can come in, we don't have to worry about development and, you know, rookie walls or anything like that. It's a guy that won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. If we put the right pieces around him, he can make plays. Could we possibly win with Nick Foles? So they could go that direction. If they do that, well, then that's one less team you really have to worry about trading up.
Yeah.
Then you got Denver and you got Miami and you got potentially, you know, Cincinnati and then Washington. You know, are they just too far back to move up?
I don't know.
Maybe you can say at six and Dwayne Haskins is there. I don't know right now.
I'm so pissed that they don't have a third-round pick this year.
I like Sam Beal, though. I think
I hope I like Sam Beal.
I do like Sam Beal. I do. I really do. I really think Sam Beal is going to – like, Giants fans are going to be happy with Sam Beal.
I hope so. Anything else on the draft or combine before we get into questions?
Nothing else. Let's get into questions.
All right. Oh, boy. Actually, a lot of questions. Shout out to you guys. Here we go. I'll pick up right where we left off. What does the deal look like to move from 6-2 to get Haskins?
6-2. Well, the Jets moved from 6-3 last year, and they gave up
3 seconds.
You know, like 3 second-round picks?
Yeah. That's why I don't think they have the ammo to do it. Because they have to give up this year's second, which means they're not going to have a second or a third this year with the number of holes on their roster. So it needs to be this year's second and next year's second and third.
Yeah, something like that.
And even that might not get it done.
Yeah.
That's my answer. This year's second and next year's second and third.
Yep.
Maybe if they get lucky, this year's second and next year's second.
Maybe they could do... who picks third? San Francisco picks third, or they pick second. Who picks third? The Jets pick third.
Jets pick third.
Okay, I don't think they're gonna make a trade with the Jets, so it's second, right?
Yeah.
So they're gonna trade San Francisco. They're gonna give. Obviously, they'll give the sixth overall pick this year. So they give a first this year, and their second this year.
Yep.
They'll give one of their fourths, and then they'll give next year's second. And then hopefully, and then obviously San Francisco could give them maybe their third this year and a late next year or something like that.
You would hope.
Yeah.
From Jay, who are some free agents you would like to see the Giants sign? I gave two guys, Cam Fleming and Juwan James. I'll throw it to you. You can give some defensive guys since I think that's pretty much what you had before.
I'll go deep into the free agency bucket, and I'll give you a name. I'm going to say Shaquille Barrett, linebacker for the Denver Broncos, a free agent. And I will say possibly Adrian Amos,
okay,
the safety from the
Chicago Bears. I know it's Amos, but I'm just going to call him Amos so we can do famous Amos.
Yeah.
All right, like that. This is from Michael. Could you see the team giving Jamon Brown a long-term deal? My answer is no.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
People really overrate Jamon Brown because
he's better than Patrick Omame.
Because he's better than Patrick Omame and less injury prone than DJ Fluker.
Yeah.
He was really just so incredibly average that because offensive line play for the Giants has been so bad for the last 6 years, people think he's like unbelievable. Like they can give him, I would give him like a 3 year deal with an option for the third with like $3 or $4 million AAV.
I got it at 3 years, $15 million.
So five?
Five a year. Yeah.
So let's go four and split the difference.
Okay. Yeah, hey, sign me up for four.
Yeah. Let's see. Talked about that one before. We've talked about this one a little bit. It's from T-Fed. Just going back to not this season, the season before, do you think ownership is most to blame for the Eli commitment after the backlash about the benching for Geno? I'm convinced Gettleman got the job solely because he committed to Eli. We were promised wholesale changes and literally nothing changed.
I don't think he solely got the job because of that. I think there was a comfort level with him because
I was about to say, if you were dividing up percentages, I would say 70% Eli, 30% familiarity.
I think it's the other way around.
Really?
I don't think the Eli commitment, like, I think it was mainly because, look, there was a guy, look at who they interviewed. They interviewed freaking four people. They interviewed five total people, and four of them used to work for them.
That's true. One of them did. But if you also look at the fact that they interviewed Louis Riddick, who ranked Eli the worst quarterback out of the five in the NFC East, which is bizarre because Riddick said he wouldn't have drafted a quarterback, even though he hates Eli. So that's sort of where my train of thought goes, that Riddick hated Eli and basically like wasn't even considered. But I guess that also plays into the fact that he's not a member of the organization or former member of the organization. So I don't know. Maybe it's closer to the middle than either of us think.
I think the majority of it is the familiarity. They didn't want to hand this over to somebody that wasn't from their tree.
So dumb.
I agree. But it's sort of like beating a dead horse at this point.
From Will, what are the odds Ellison is cut? How would you handle that contract?
I would cut him because we're talking your number two tight end who, you know, it's not really a real viable, like not a real viable threat in the passing game. He's more of a blocker.
Yep.
And $5 million is a lot, man.
It's a lot. Especially I would get rid of him.
That doesn't have, yeah. I mean, Scott Smithsonian, you just signed him for under $1 million. I mean, can he give you what Rhett Ellison gave you? Sure. You know?
Yeah.
Also, there's some good tight ends in this draft, too. I mean, you have...
Dude, this is probably the best tight end draft we've had in, like, 10 years.
Yeah, so I mean, you could look to get one in the later rounds, and he could potentially do what Rhett Ellison did. So $5 million is a lot for a number two tight end.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more from Adam. The Daniel Jones thing has to be a smokescreen, right? That's his question.
What Daniel Jones thing?
This is, I don't think it's more of an issue now as it was maybe like 3 months ago, where people were linking him to the Giants because of, what's the Duke's coach's name? I always forget.
Cutcliffe.
Daniel Cutcliffe or David Cutcliffe. Yeah,
something like that.
David Cutcliffe.
The dude that was Eli's coach.
Exactly. I think that's, I mean, listen, he's a big white guy who has been to the Manning quarterback camps and shares a coach with Cutcliffe. I think Daniel Jones is so overrated. I don't understand what people see in him. I don't even think it's a smokescreen at this point. I think for the Giants, it's really Haskins or bust. Maybe Drew Locke. We'll see what the combine brings. But I don't think it's Daniel Jones at all.
Drew Locke intrigues me.
Yeah. A little bit.
He's like that boom or bust guy.
He ain't top two for me. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think Haskins and Murray are above him, but he's probably my third quarterback on the board. But he's just an intriguing guy. Like, I'm interested to see him at the combine.
For sure. All right, that's it. Final words?
I have no final words.
Me neither. I just
wish that I'm happy this month of February is over, and March with free agency and, you know, March Madness, we can get this thing, this draft season can go a little bit faster.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll get to the draft. We can just get it over with. I'm already setting myself up to be
disappointed,
underwhelmed. Yeah. So I'm pretty much used to that.
Yep.
Where last year I had hope last year.
This, I have like no hope right now. My hope is that I'm surprised and the Giants do things that make sense for the first time in a long time.
The fact that Eli Manning is still cap, it's $23 million. They're okay with it. I mean, it's criminal.
Criminal.
Unbelievable negligence by the Giants. What they're doing right now with this guy. Oh my God.
What a waste. All right. That's it. NYG Weekly. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Weiss at NYG Daily. The blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. We'll talk to you guys soon. We got more football coming up, so there'll be much more to talk about. That's it for us. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Peace out.